This morning, folks, as we continue to take a look at John, and we're at John, still in John 2, at verse 12 through 17, and we're talking this morning about not loving the world. How many of us love the world? How many of us, yeah, we do. We love the world. I'm number one. I love the world. It's hard not to love the world. When the world offers you everything that you can imagine, and it doesn't offer you anything that you can't just reach and punch a button and have. Anything you want. If you got the money, you can just put it in or pay for it, and you got it, just like that right there. And I don't know about y'all, but every day, folks, I see things in this world that I desire, I want. Somebody else's, though. It's not mine. And so, but I still want it. Yeah, what day was that? One day this week, I don't know what day it was. Friday, I think it was. This guy was hauling an Olds Cutlass 442 convertible. And I just, wow. I mean, I'm like, dude, this is unreal. Unreal how that car looked. It was the sharpest thing in the world. That's the world. You hear what I said? The sharpest thing in the world. Well, guess what? That afternoon, guess what I saw? I saw the prettiest boat I've ever laid my eyes on. I'm telling y'all. Now, you get this in your head. I told Tammy, I said, I've never looked at a boat like this before. But you can imagine ice cream, not real white ice cream, but that creamy cream that was on the bottom. And on the top was a push-up color orange. You know what a push-up is? We eat when we was a kid. That push-up color orange on the top of this boat. And then it had some more white, not white, but that cream. Oh, my gosh, this boat was beautiful. And it had a little cabin, you know. I mean, it wasn't a little boat. This was a big boat. But it was the coolest thing I've seen. And I said, two in one day. And then the Lord wants me to preach on Sunday about being in the world. Folks, I'm in the world. I don't know about y'all. But I live in the world, and it hurts me. It's hard to follow everything that I know that Christ wants me to do. No, I don't go buy that stuff, but I see it, and I desire it, and I'd like to be able to bring it to the house with me. Well, this is where we're at this morning. We're going to see that John was trying to tell each and every one of us not to love the world. Not to love the things of the world, but to love Jesus Christ. Now, I will say this, folks, that I'll be 71 here in a few days, and at 71, I love Jesus a lot more than I did at 21. It's easier to love Jesus at 71 than it is when you're young and you're still wondering, what direction is the world going to take me? Where am I at? What's going to happen? Where am I going to end up financially? Where am I going to end up job-wise? Where am I going to end up in this world when you're young? And I know it's easier as you get older because I begin to see and desire the things that God has on that side more than I do on this side. Now, I think you will every one of you will as you get older. And there's some that are older than I am here, but not many. And I think they would agree with me that you begin to desire the things that's on the other side. Mark's only one I know that's older than me. He's sitting right back there. He just had a birthday. Pete, he just had a birthday, so he's got older than I am. But so we see that John is saying as he begins his writings in verse 12. Listen to what the Word of God says. He says, I am writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. That's us, folks. I'm writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith. That'd be like Mark and me. We're mature. We're older. We're getting there. So we're mature in the faith. And we're so he's writing to us. And so he says, because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I'm writing to you who are young in the faith because you have won your battle with the evil one. Now, you know, he's saying to the young ones, I'm writing to you too, the babes in Christ. I have written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. I have written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts, and you have won your battle with the evil one. Do not love this world, nor love the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure. A craving for everything we see and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we see the reading of God's word, and we see John writing, he's trying to tell every one of us, I'm writing to you children of God. Every one of us who proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he says, I'm trying to get to you. I'm trying to talk to you and for you to understand because you know that your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. That's for sure. We everyone know that. We everyone know that. If we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He forgave us of our sins. He died upon the cross and shed His blood that our sin debt would be paid. And He says, but I'm writing to you who are mature in faith. You know, us older folks, we don't think about it. I know a lot of times I don't think about it. But these kids, all of these younger kids, and I'm talking 20-year-old down, I call them kids because that's what they are. But all the kids that's younger, everybody that's younger, they look to us older people. They look to us older people to be their mentor, to be their guide. And they pay attention as to what we do and how we treat people and how we love others. And this is what John's saying. I'm writing this to you older folks because you should know what the deal is. You're mature in faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. We've been taught all of our lives, folks, that Jesus Christ existed from the very beginning. And we're going to talk about this in a few minutes. But we know in our hearts and in our minds that He has been there with God. He was there from the very beginning. And we need to be the ones telling the younger people that's younger than we are. We need to be the ones that's setting the example and making the way for these younger people to come and desire to want to be in church, that would love the Lord, and they desire to love the Lord because they have heard it from us. And then he says, I'm writing to you who are young in the faith. These kids are young in the faith. These young people, they're even Eddie, he's a young kid. I mean, I watched him grow up. He's not young anymore, but he is young. Him and Ross are young. But they are young in the faith. But they have seen, they've seen what has happened in this world. They are strong because they have accepted Jesus Christ and they stayed with they've stayed with it. They haven't varied from it at all. And so they are strong in their faith. And this is something that, and they're raising young people, and young people are watching them, everything they do. And this is what he is trying to tell the ones that are young to us, middle age maybe, you know, coming up to be middle aged, that you have heard God's word. You know it, you've accepted it, and you are strong because you haven't varied from it at all. What a wonderful testimony. But he's doing this and he's writing this so that these, every one of us, will know that it's our responsibility to take this word forward into the world with everyone that we see, everyone that comes in contact with us. We should not necessarily have to talk about Christ. They should see Christ wrote all over us. They should see that this man's different. He's something different about him, you know. And I've told y'all this, I know 100 times, but it is, you know, you get lots of compliments, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, but we get lots of compliments about lots of things that goes on in the world that you do or you don't do, or, you know, that you do, that, or somebody will say something about, well, I enjoy this or that. But, you know, one of the greatest compliments I've ever received in my life was after I changed my life. I was at Ridgeway Funeral Home one night, and this guy come up to me, and he said, Mike, I said, yes, sir. He said, I don't know what's happened to you. I don't know. I don't understand. But he said, I want whatever it is that's happened to you to happen to me. Isn't that a compliment? Isn't that the greatest compliment you could ever receive? Folks, nothing, I didn't do nothing to me. That was Jesus Christ that moved in me. And he recognized it. You see, that's a compliment that we take no credit for whatsoever. None whatsoever. We're just living our life for Christ, and somebody sees it and somebody recognizes it. And then they mention it to you. The day I die, that will be in my mind from now on, because it's nothing to me. It's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. So we see that as we look at verse 15, it says, do not love this world, for there's things in it that it offers, for the things, nor the things that it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. So he's saying, do not love the world. The things of this world, they're going to come and they're going to go. The world is not worth loving. You ever stop and think about Adam and Eve? The old devil, he got next to Eve, and Adam listened to her, and he wasn't no better than Eve was, because he was distracted by what she said. But they had a tree, a fruit that was beautiful. It was the most gorgeous tree in the whole deal, and in the whole garden. But God said, don't eat of that. Don't eat of that fruit. Don't eat of that tree. What would have been wrong with just sitting back and enjoying the beauty of that tree? Wouldn't that have been nice if we could have just sat and enjoyed the beauty of the tree and enjoyed the things that God had put there for us to look at? But the devil comes along, and the devil tells Eve that, hey, go ahead and eat of it. It's nothing wrong with that fruit. It's not anything wrong with it at all. Matter of fact, it's going to be really good. And the Lord just don't want you fooling with it, because you're going to be as smart as he is. And Eve gets to thinking about that and said, I think I will eat of it. And she did. So you see what the devil was doing? He was telling her that it will satisfy you physically. It will satisfy your hunger. It will satisfy you physically, that you not only look at it, but you get to partake of it. He's telling her that if you'll just go ahead and eat of it, that you're going to be as smart as the Lord is. You're going to have everything he has. You're going to be in control of this garden. All this possessions will be yours. All of this garden will be yours at this point. And then the pride that you can have in maintaining this garden. You don't need God. You don't need God to maintain this garden. You can have all the pride that it brings you. And what happened? She listened. And she done just exactly what the serpent said. And as it turned out, it was the worst thing that could have ever happened. Because now, it takes Jesus to come to be the second Adam. So Jesus has come. God has sent His Son, Jesus. And Jesus has come to live here on this earth. And He came because Adam, he messed up. And so what happens? The devil grabs Jesus, runs Him up on top of the mountain, says, "Hey, let me show you something here." He said, "You're hungry, dude. You hadn't eaten probably 40 days. He got Him a big old rock. He said, "Here, take this rock and turn it into some bread. Satisfy your physical need." Jesus said, "No. I don't live on bread alone." He didn't understand that. The devil didn't care. He just said, "Hey, do it." He's used to everybody else listening to him. He thought Jesus would too. But he didn't. And then what did he tell him? He said, "Look here, dude. Come up here and look at the over side of this mountain." He said, "I'll give you this whole world. I'll give you everything here. You can jump off of it. It won't hurt you. You can ask the Lord to call in His angels." He said, "But this could be yours if you'll follow me." Jesus said, "No, I don't think so." You know, the devil was a fallen angel. You think that he didn't know that Jesus was there the day that Adam messed up? You think he didn't know because he was there in the garden? He was there. He had created everything with God. He was there from the very beginning. He should have said, "Let me tell you something, devil. I'm the reason one of the reasons I'm here is because of Adam and you in the garden. I have to come to take care of the sins that Adam created." But instead, Jesus, he didn't argue with him. He didn't say anything to him. Very humble, huh? How many of us are humble to the point we don't open our mouths about anything? It's hard, folks. It's very hard. And, you know, when we're humble, when we humble ourselves not to argue with the devil or argue with anyone, it's hard to do. This week, Tammy corrected me pretty strongly on Monday morning. She said, "You shouldn't talk to that fella that way." I said, "Tammy, he don't understand no other way." But she corrected me pretty heavy about that. And she was right. She was right. I was wrong. And you know, I had to tell the Lord, "Hey, look, I'm wrong. I should not have spoke the words I spoke to this man." Even though I think he needed it, and I thought he wouldn't understand if I didn't talk to him that way. But I'm sure he would have. But it was just me wanting to be me instead of me wanting to be Jesus. You see, everything we do, folks, everything we do reflects Jesus. And if you don't reflect Jesus, you need to be on your knees asking Jesus to forgive you. Because I did not reflect you, Lord. I don't care who you're talking to. You need to be respectful of that person. So we see that the devil was telling Jesus, You can be prideful of having all of this because I'm going to give it to you. What Jesus should have been telling the devil, "Dude, you don't understand. This is mine anyway. I mean, this is mine. What are you telling me that you're going to give it to me? It's not yours to give." But that's what the devil tells us, folks. He tells us that he has things for us. If we will only listen to him, he has things for us that will that he will give to us that will make us happy, that will cause us to be a lot better than where we are today. And it does not happen. He's the biggest liar that ever was. It does not happen. So then we see the world offers only a craving for, excuse me. The world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. So we see, folks, that everything we crave, everything we want, everything we think we want, and, you know, all the things we have, they come out of this world. And there's not one bit of it, not one bit of it that belongs to the to us, really. It all belongs to the Father. The Father allows us to have what we have. God doesn't mind if we have nice things or have things. He doesn't mind that. It's how we prioritize the things that we have. It's what we put in line, how we line up our toys versus God. Yesterday, I saw the Kentucky Derby. I love it. That's one day I live for every year. I love everything about it. And I told Tommy this morning, he said, "You've been?" I said, "No, I haven't. And I probably won't ever go because I love it." And you don't need to go places that you love that's like the Kentucky Derby. When you get there, I guarantee you, I would have had some money on some of them horses, you know. You don't go there, folks. You don't put yourself where you know you don't need to be. I think Samson done that. And you know the story of that, and you know how it turned out for him. It wasn't real good. But you don't go where you don't need to be. I don't go places I don't need to go. But had I been there, I might have been pretty, my pocketbook might have been a little bigger today, because that was one of the horses that we had talked about earlier in the day. But I never dreamed that it was going to win, you know, but with the odds, you would have give it a shot anyway. So we see this craving for things, folks. We see this craving for the desire to be somewhere, the desire to go to these places, and the things that we would love to see and to be able just to live there. I would not want to live in Louisville, Kentucky, because there's a lot goes on over there. I wouldn't need to live in Lexington because a lot goes on there. So there's things that places you need to live. There's places you don't need to live. That's one reason I live in the woods. There's not much out there. But guess what? After I got these hearing aids last week, I found out the crickets are still with me. There's some birds that's still with me. There's some things happening around me I thought was gone. I could even hear Ross's phone ring half a mile across the field the other day. And I told him, I said, "That phone's ringing." He didn't believe it. But folks, let me tell you, the things that we think that are gone is because they're not gone. They're still with us. You know what it is? It's the sound of the world that has caught up with us. The sound of the world has hushed every bit of that stuff out. We don't have time to listen for a cricket. We don't have time to listen for a whippoorwill. We don't have time to listen for the birds to sing, for the doves to coo. We don't have time. But folks, this is what John knew. He knew that we would fade away from Christ if we wasn't careful. He knew that we would get caught up in this world. He knew that we would have a tendency to lean toward the world instead of leaning back toward Christ. And that's just what he was saying. You know better, folks. You've heard the word. You've lived in the word. You know what you should be doing and what you shouldn't. If it's a a physical pleasure to you, you probably may or may not need to be doing it. And so it says, and this world is fading away along with everything that the people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Now, if I said, folks, this morning, if I said, if you would turn and live for God in a way that you should, you wouldn't die. You'd be able to live right here forever. Boy, everybody would be in for that, wouldn't it? Because we love this world. We want to stay in this world. That's what we want. We want to take all the vitamins and all the things we can so we can live another 10 years. We don't want to talk about getting out of here. But folks, he is telling us right here in the scriptures, this world is fading away. It's going to wake up one morning, it's all going to be gone. It's going to be gone. But you know what? We can live forever. God offers us a life everlasting. He offers us life through his Son, Jesus Christ. He offers us this life that we will not die. We will have life eternal. But we have to love Jesus. We have to love God. We have to desire to be in his presence and desire to be around him more and more every day. We have to desire to live a life more Christ-like every day. If you're not living a life as good on Monday as you should, then try Tuesday to be better. Try Wednesday to even be better. Live a life that is pleasing unto God. It's hard, folks. It's hard to live in the world that we live in. It's hard to live in a world that offers you everything that you want. And it offers you that in a matter of snap your fingers. I needed a light bulb yesterday for something that I want real bad. I don't have to have it. That light bulb don't mean nothing, but it does to me. And Tammy said, well, it'll be about a week getting here. I said, a week? We can't go get a light bulb? Well, a lot of these light bulbs you don't just buy anymore, you know. You just don't run to town and get them like we used to. And this is an old light bulb, old style light bulb that I need. And so I was like, I got to wait a week for a light bulb? In the world we live in, I got to wait a week? I said, look on there and see who else might have it. Nobody had it. Got to order it. So, folks, you get caught up. I don't care who you are, whether you're the preacher. I don't care who you are. You get caught up in the things that the world offers you. If you don't think you do, you stop and look at your life. You're caught up in something the world is offering you. I don't care what it is. There's something that has a vice on you. It does me. It does everybody. Because we're not perfect. Only Jesus was. And that's why we need Jesus. I hope you think about that. I hope you stop and you think about how much of this world do I really, really, really desire? And how much of this world do I really, really, really need? Because there's a whole lot of difference. Whole lot of difference. This morning as we've read this scripture, I pray that you go back home, read it again, think about it. And folks, do not let the craving of the world be what you're remembered for. Do not let the craving of the world. I have lots of stuff that I enjoy and lots of stuff I like. One time, I mean, Diet Coke was just like a water fountain. I went around with Diet Coke all the time. I don't drink them anymore. But it was a craving I had that the world offered. And you have to quit. A lot of times, the things that are hurting you physically in other ways as well. There's so many things, folks, that we look at every day and we put lots and lots of emphasis on. But just starting tomorrow, stop and put more emphasis on your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.